Now, titles appear against flames in a fireplace. Celia Ward as Sydney Clark. Catch a Falling Star. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS. Read by Pat Lentz. A woman in a colonial-era dress sits at the bedside of a blonde-haired man.
Constance. You're still here.
Couldn't leave you, Daniel.
You wonder where you are.
He doesn't care about me.
He's your husband.
He's your brother.
She places her hand on his bare chest.
I have nothing else in my life. I can't lose you, Daniel.
What are we? This is so wrong.
I know.
Their lips inch closer together.
Can we cut?
Yeah!
A balding director leaves a camera crew.
What is this? The lips are fine. They're fine. Can somebody please mop her down?
It's not the lips, Harry. It's my face.
I powdered it, Harry. I swear.
The lights, Harry. You got a million watts, all focused on my face.
What are you, the lighting director now, Sydney?
Harry, fix the light. I'll be in my trailer.
Sydney! Brenda, call lunch, will you please?
He already cooked lunch, Harry.
Then call dinner. Call five. Just get me a tranquilizer.
That's a five, everybody. Let's not wander away from the set. Tell the actors to take five. Kill the fire.
Give me a playback. She's killing me, Victor.
It's the Pinocchio factor, Harry.
What?
Never mind. The light, I checked the grid. We were missing a gel. It's like a floodlight in Sydney's nose.
What the hell is the Pinocchio factor?
Her nose, Harry. She thinks her nose is too long.
Code word, Pinocchio factor.
What about pain in the butt factor?
You'd have to reshoot if she hadn't caught it.
Well, fix it. Whatever you do, don't let her know she was right. Brenda, aspirin, fruit basket to Sydney's trailer ASAP.
Done.
Now, Sydney pushes through a swarm of fans and press. A short-haired woman holds up a disposable camera.
Hey, squad! I'm from Mississippi.
I'm from Mississippi, too.
I know, me too.
Pushmataz.
I'm
talking to you.
A businesswoman drags Sydney inside an art gallery.
She's from Mississippi, but she'll be there when you get out.
Okay, now I'm going to go find McAndrew. You wait right here.
Sydney stands with her leading man.
Just talked to the guys from the studio.
Yeah?
They're ready to green light the script I wrote for us. All you have to do is say yes.
I told you I don't like the room.
Sweetheart, this is a chance for us to work together again. They're willing to hold up the start date till after the honeymoon.
Ryan, I've played a psychopath in two of my last three movies. Beginning to worry what that says about me.
Just read it one more time.
Ryan.
Fine.
Sydney, I found him. Come on. Ryan, you stick. The curator's name is McAndrew, and I just talked him into going national with this spot.
Ryan notices two women smiling at him. He nods them closer. Now, a limo pulls up to a lush estate. Sydney exercises in back.
The art gallery spot is beautiful. And here is the wedding spread in puree.
Oh, Fran, we don't need any more publicity. This wedding's going to be a media circus as it is.
Event, darling. Event of the century.
Wish we could just elope.
Elope? Sydney, you're a star. You're royalty. People want to know every detail, and we are not going to disappoint them. What's the matter, honey?
I don't know, maybe just jitters.
Not even gets the jitters.
I don't know why we're getting married in the first place.
You're a great couple. The press loves you. Now, Harry says he's found the perfect location for the cabin scene, and there's a 4-star hotel right on the lake.
I don't know why we have to go on location, Fran. It's a colossal pain. It's almost May. There's not going to be any snow in New England in May.
He's just looking for authenticity. That's not so bad. They're expecting a freak storm.
Can't. Well, they'll get their freak storm when Harry gets there, that's for sure.
Oh, stop pouting. Harry's film means a shot at a nomination. Right, Ginger?
Oh, absolutely.
Better parts, better money. I already got an offer from the studio at double your fee.
A comedy?
Another psychopath, but Sydney, who cares? It's double the money. Double the money. And as your best friend, I advise you to take it.
Oh, how many best friends do you know get 10%?
All right, as your manager, I advise you to stay on track.
Fran leaves a stack of scripts.
Just leap through these tonight so I can at least get the agents off my back. Oh, flight at 7, limo at 5. And don't worry about the snow in New England. You'll have snow up to your wazoo and it'll be the real stuff.
Yeah.
Action on the snow!
Outside a log cabin, fans blow fake snow into the air. A young boy joins the weeping actress on the cabin porch.
Don't cry, Mother.
I can't help it, Miles. If I don't marry Nathaniel, Daniel.
Yeah! Cat! Miles!
I didn't screw up, see it!
Camera, you call that a dolly move? It was pathetic! Okay, cut the machines! I said turn off the machines now!
It doesn't look like a snowstorm, Harry. It looks like a dandruff commercial. Didn't your weatherman call for snow today?
Yes, he did. He called for it yesterday. He's calling for it tomorrow. The guy is a liar.
Went to overtime, Harry.
Give me a value.
None left.
Three nights, bro.
Wrap.
That's it. It's a wrap. We're going back to L.A.
That's a wrap, people. Thank you.
Harry, you're kidding me, right?
Don't start with me, Sydney.
You're flying me 3,500 miles to wait for snow when we could have gone 60 miles to Big Bear or Arrowhead or the 10 other mountains in California, and now you want to turn around and fly back to L.A.?
I can't make it snow, Sydney. I'm not God.
Have you ever heard of snow blowers, Harry? They make snow. Real snow, not potato chips. Of course, it's 82 degrees. We can't make snow now, can we, Harry?
Give it a rest, Sydney. We'll shoot the snow after the next location.
You want to shoot the snow, you do it without me. Call Glenn Close. That's who you wanted in the first place.
Sydney, come back, darling. Please come back.
Look, try and keep it together. We'll find the snow. The writer will make the adjustments. It will turn out fine.
It will turn out fine. What's it, Harry? Another pointless film that no one will remember?
Sydney, public price tickets to see you. We film this, we film that. In the end, it doesn't matter.
Oh, God. Nothing ever matters. When will it matter? I keep waiting to see what that feels like.
Sydney marches to a dressing trailer.
Sydney, come back, darling.
As she opens Sydney. The door, a woman hops off Ryan's lap, breaking their passionate kiss.
Sid? Oh, we were rehearsing.
Sydney cocks her head.
She's your stand-in. It makes sense, Sydney.
Smiling slightly, she turns away.
Sydney?
Her curly-haired assistant runs toward her.
Sydney!
Sydney, your coat. It's raining.
As Harry watches, Brenda steps beside him.
She's going in the woods. Should I go after her?
The hotel's 500 yards away. Let her go. If we're lucky, there'll be some big, hairy, hungry thing in there. Brenda, do you not have anything?
It's my doll?
Sold.
Back in Los Angeles, Fran talks on the phone as she watches the fireside scene from Sydney's movie.
I'm watching it right now. It's fabulous. Oh, Quentin, she's perfect.
Fran, it's Harry's office.
Yeah, I'm busy.
You should take it.
I'll call them back, comprende?
Sydney's walked again.
Quentin, I'll call you back. Harry, how's my favorite director? You did what? Oh, my God. They lost Sydney in the woods. They sent out a search party. Harry, are you crazy? Bigfoot's probably eaten her by now. Find her.
Nighttime, Sydney trudges through the woods.
Idiot. Idiot. To be or not to be an idiot!
In the pouring rain, she wears a raincoat over her colonial dress.
Okay. You can do this.
She looks through the driving rain at the surrounding forest.
Which way is up and which way is down? Oh, God, I think I'm losing it. Oh, I don't believe you did this, Sydney. You're an idiot. You walk off a movie in Manhattan. Walk off a movie in Beverly Hills. You don't walk off a movie in a godforsaken mountainside in the middle of nowhere.
She hunkers down against a tree, then brings up the hood of her coat.
Oh. Wait till Actors Guild hears about this. Oh.
She curls up against the tree trunk, holding her arms at her chest. Now, in the dry night air, Sydney sleeps against the tree trunk. She wakes abruptly and looks around. Sitting up, she holds her hands out patiently.
Hello?
She crawls up a muddy hillside.
Hello? Help! Hello?
As she reaches the crest, it starts to rain again. Sydney rolls down the other side of the grassy slope, bouncing to a stop at a roadside embankment. Headlights shine briefly on her face. The actress notices a car pass on a two-lane highway ahead of her. She struggles to her feet, spotting a wet hitchhiker in a cowboy hat thumbing for a ride several yards away. Sydney runs over as a truck stops for him. She pushes the hitchhiker aside and gets in.
This one's mine! You take the next one!
Where are you headed?
What's the name of that town? Deerview?
Deerview? Lady, that's back over the mountain. I'm headed to Lincoln, about 2 hours away. Take it or leave it.
What, I can't even ride the back of the truck? No honor among hitchhikers anymore. Might as well take the damn bus.
Morning. Sydney's view takes in a sprawling factory.
What's that over there?
That's the Lincoln Steel Mill. We're coming into town now.
The truck slowly makes its way up a lakeside road, then turns onto a quaint rural street. Townsfolk walk in the dawning sunlight. A movie theater with an old marquee stands amid storefronts on the main street. The truck pulls over in front of the theater. Sydney gets out and waves from the curb. Her wrinkled raincoat covers her long brown dress and dirty apron.
Thanks a lot.
She eyes the far end of the street. Roadside buildings frame the distant steel mill resting beneath orange-rimmed clouds. A woman walks with some children past the movie theater. They shy away from Sydney as she starts down the sidewalk.
Dear. Mommy, is that a bag lady?
Now, Sydney waits at a curb beside an elderly couple.
Good morning.
Morning.
As she crosses the street, the man turns to his companion and shrugs. Sydney approaches a bowling alley with a neon sign reading Dooley's. Inside, red and blue-shirted teams play each other. Sydney scans the lanes, then walks to a payphone. At a lunch counter, a short-haired waitress approaches a fry cook.
Picked up a spare.
Joyce, he's on fire. What's he at?
He's gonna nail 650 series for sure.
Who's this?
She points to the costumed stranger on the phone.
She could bowl in our bag lady league.
With Sydney.
Answering machine. It's 4 in the morning in L.A.
Fran, it's me. Don't call out the National Guard, I'm all right. But don't tell Harry or Ryan. Tell him that I am lost and feared dead. Actually, don't tell Harry that. He'll get going to close. I'm coming home.
She inspects her frizzy brown hair.
Actually, I can't come home. I need to get money. You've got to get Fred to wire me some money. I'm in, I don't know what the hell this place is. I can't read the number on the telephone. So I'll call you back. Never mind. Bye.
At the lunch counter, the cook and waitress eye her.
Get the money up front.
Sydney sits at the counter.
Coffee? Yes, please. Cream of sugar? Just a little cream.
The waitress slides over a creamer. Sydney reaches for sugar.
It's 7 in the morning. Who's bowling?
They watch the two teams.
That's the Midnight Humpers versus the Dawn Patrol.
The Midnight Humpers?
Yeah, it's the guys coming off the midnight shift at the mill against the guys coming on the 8 o'clock shift.
They've got an hour off and they're bowling?
Are you kidding? These guys bowl in their sleep. They bowl for their wedding receptions. We've got a bar mitzvah bowl.
Sydney grins.
I'm in bowl hell. Can I ask you a question? Shoot.
She eyes one lane's narrow pins.
What are those weird things behind me?
You mean the bowlers?
No, I mean the skinny pins and the tiny balls.
Oh, candle pin. It's an East Coast thing. It's English. Can I get you anything else?
Sydney shakes her head.
Plane ticket out of here. Did I mention that I have no money?
The waitress nods slowly, then smiles.
Coffee I can get you on the house, but you're on your own for the plane ticket.
As Sydney sips her coffee, the waitress leans closer.
You in some kind of trouble?
Now, why would you think that?
Sydney looks down at her muddy costume.
You want to talk about it?
No.
Okay. You can use the phone in the office for free.
Sydney nods, then looks off thoughtfully.
I don't know who I'd call.
The waitress leans on the counter.
That's trouble, all right. Look. For starters, how about a loan some clothes?
You would loan me clothes? Why would you loan me clothes?
The waitress looks Sydney over.
Because you need them.
Joyce.
Joyce moves to the grill and faces the cook.
Get rid of her. She's a bag lady.
She's not a bag lady.
He glances at Sydney.
She's broke. She's wearing baggy clothes. She's a bag lady.
It's a new look. that Elizabethan thing.
Now in Fran's office.
Okay, so we RSVP'd yes to the Streisand Lockett party?
Fran.
No to the Thanksgiving Day parade? Who were they kidding?
Fran, listen.
And a maybe to the ozone replenishment benefit.
Fran, Sydney Clark.
What?
Yeah, she left a message. She doesn't know the name of the town she's in, she doesn't have any money, and she didn't know what the number that she was calling from, but she's gonna call back.
Oh, that's insane.
So what's new?
Okay, zip it. Get me Harry on the phone, then get me the studio.
No, Harry already called. He knew she was out of the woods because some gas station attendants are with a truck driver.
A truck driver? For her.
I'll call the studio.
Yeah.
Now in a back office at the bowling alley, Joyce thumbs through a stack of magazines. On one titled Exclusive, Sydney graces the cover with short platinum blonde hair. Joyce turns to Sydney, who brushes out her long brown locks, wearing jeans and a bowling shirt.
Anyone ever tell you you look like Sandra Bullock?
I don't think I look anything like Sandra Bullock.
Hmm. Well, her are a little bit like that actress Sydney Clark. Except for the blonde hair and those poofy lips. She had them injected with sheep fat, you know.
Well, she did not.
I read it in a magazine. It's true. So what is your name?
Cheryl. Cheryl Belson.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Cheryl. I'm Joyce McMurphy.
Me too.
Cheryl, promise me one thing.
What?
That one day you'll tell me about that dress. And the last couple of days.
It's a long story. But I will.
I don't know what you're doing in there, Joycey, but we're backed up out here.
Come on.
Sydney follows Joyce out to the lunch counter.
Only cook it once, kiddo.
I know. All cooks are the same persnickety groovy people. Cheryl, hold your arm out.
Sydney shows her nails.
Palms up.
Joyce gives her three plates of burgers.
What are you doing? Do me a favor, run this down to lane 3.
Me?
Oh, no.
So,
what's your problem? You're asking me to wait tables?
No, I'm asking you to do me a favor.
How's a person supposed to carry all this? Haven't you ever heard of a tray?
She hands her a tray of drinks.
There you go. Okay, go. Lane 3. Easy attitude, you might get a tip.
Sydney walks away, balancing the plates on her arm. On lane 3, a blonde man bowls a strike. He high-fives a silver-haired man as Sydney approaches.
See you later, buddy.
Can somebody give me a hand, please?
The two guys take the plates and tray. As a pregnant woman sits with a plate, the silver-haired man faces Sydney.
How much will you?
I don't know. I'm not a waitress.
He meets Sydney's gaze.
Well, that's apparent.
Hey, Joyce, how much?
$10.50.
The man hands some cash to Sydney.
$10.
He digs in his jeans pocket.
Bill Gates of bowling. Bing is not a city in China, you know.
That's good.
He glances at the name on her shirt.
Peaches.
Cheryl, and I'm leaving tomorrow.
I wasn't asking.
Yes, you were.
What's your hurry?
Hard to make a living here.
You're telling me. Maybe you're in the wrong line of work.
You got that right.
Stick around anyway.
Now, why would I want to do that?
He cocks his head thoughtfully.
Because I'm here.
That's why I'm leaving.
Sydney grins and walks off. His friends look on.
Spit him out.
That hurt. Total annihilation, brother.
You know something? She really likes me.
Yeah.
In the bowling alley, lights go out above the empty lanes one by one. Joyce carries a load of ketchup and mustard bottles to the counter where Sydney reads a newspaper.
A lot of houses for sale. Well, people are scared. Every time there's another rumor about the mill closing, somebody leaves.
Lock up, will you, Joycey?
Sure, no problem. Good night, Walter.
Thanks.
You don't mind if I hang here till the rain stops, do you?
No, not at all. But can you give me a hand, or are you going to stand there like the Queen of England and watch me drop this stuff?
Sure. What do you need me to do?
Joyce picks up a coin.
I'm just kidding you. Here, take this, push A1 on the jukebox.
Oh, I can handle that.
Well, good. So, where are you from, Cheryl?
Mississippi. Pushmataha.
I thought I heard an accent. And how'd you wind up here?
Sort of walked off a job.
That's a hell of a long walk.
Oh, I used to love this song.
Yeah, me too.
My cousin Lily taught me how to jitterbug.
Oh, yeah? Ooh, dance with me.
Cut it out.
Oh, come on, put that down.
Sydney dances with Joyce in front of the jukebox.
I don't do this very well.
Holding hands, they push apart, pull together, then twirl each other under their arms.
I'll always love you.
Sydney wraps Joyce beside her.
You ready now?
What?
She spins Joyce across the floor. Sydney's smile fades. Now a sedan pulls to a stop in a home's driveway. Joyce gets out of the passenger side.
I'll get my crutches.
She hops on one foot.
Hang on! Wait, don't move without me. Just fine. A second.
Joyce gets crutches from the back seat.
Joyce, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I just bumped it. Yes. Just grab my bag. Thank you.
All right, take it easy.
Joyce drops a crutch.
Wait a second. I've got it.
Have you got it?
I can't remember what I've had so much fun.
I'm so sorry.
If you say you're sorry one more time, I will whack you. Okay?
Sydney helps Joyce to the door.
So where are you going to stay tonight?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Well, you're welcome to stay on my couch.
Joyce is such a nice person. I don't know what to make of it. I'm sure you're not Southern.
If that means thank you, you're welcome.
You want to get locked?
No, we don't lock it.
Small town, I love it.
Daytime. On a residential street shaded by large leafy trees, two boys skateboard down a sidewalk. Inside Joyce's house, Sydney sits beside her bed with a pencil and notepad. She draws a caricature of the sleeping woman. Joyce opens her eyes and rubs them.
How do you feel?
I'll live.
Sydney holds up a sheet of paper. Bold letters spell sorry.
Can I see that?
Sure.
Thanks.
Sydney hands her the drawing.
That is so good.
Thank you.
Is that what you do back in Pushmahuha?
Pushmataha. No. Worked at a tropical fish store.
That's the job you walked out on? Guppy's got you, huh?
No, the piranhas. Not to mention a cheating fiancé.
Ouch. So now what will you do? I mean, what would you like to do if you had your choice?
Phew, what a question. If I could do anything, what would I do?
She shrugs, then meets Joyce's gaze.
36 years old, and I don't know the answer to that.
Can I give you a little advice?
Sure.
I don't think you're quite cut out to wait tables.
No kidding. I like my food brought to me, thank you very much. What about you? You gonna hang out with the Midnight Humpers the rest of your life?
No, actually. Someday I'd like to open up a little cafe down by the lake. Own my own business.
What a wonderful idea. Why did you do that?
Risky. Mill closes down, so does everything else.
A risk are meant to be taken, right?
Well, one step at a time, if I'm lucky. First, I gotta figure out how to wait tables walking on my hands.
I gotta figure out how to get out of here, no offense. Where's the nearest big airport?
Boston.
Okay, I have friends in Boston. How do I get to Boston? Do I take a train, bus, what?
We got a train station. Train leaves tonight, I think, around 8 o'clock.
Oh, I just have one little problem.
Oh.
Nighttime. Joyce and Sydney walk together.
Joyce, I don't know how to thank you.
Would you stop it? Just keep it.
Actually, break your foot off and you lend me a week's worth of tip.
Cheryl, the way I was raised, somebody needs help, you give it to them. Don't pay me back. You've got my address.
Sure, thank you. I'll get your clothes back to you right away. Promise.
Did I mention the interest payments? I gotta get back to work.
Thank you so much. I'll be in touch.
They hug.
We'll take care.
Yeah, you too.
See ya.
Bye.
As Joyce limps off on her crutches, Sydney shoulders a bag and heads toward a brick train depot with benches in front of it. A sign on a post reads, Lincoln. On one bench, an elderly, frizzy-haired man sits gazing toward the train tracks. Sydney sits beside him.
This train should be here any minute.
Where are you heading?
Not me. My daughter's coming home.
Oh, that's nice.
She's 33 now. I haven't seen her for almost 4 years.
He smiles wistfully at Sydney.
Nothing's better than coming home.
She must have traveled a lot, huh?
It's been a place or two. Greece. The island of Crete. Italy. Switzerland. Well, most of Europe, really. England. As far up as Norway. Well, that's not counting the Arctics. Both up and down.
Sounds adventurous.
A train rolls toward them.
She went everywhere.
It slows to a stop.
Not the best place is home. Where people love you. Where they care about you.
Sydney gives a slight smile. The old man looks toward the train.
Well, She's home.
He stands and heads toward the tracks.
Enjoy the visit.
As the man slumps toward a boxcar, Sydney shoulders her bag, then freezes. Her smile fades. Two men slide a coffin out of the boxcar.
Oh, my God.
Sydney watches the men put the coffin on a cart and slowly push it away. The old man rests his hand on it and follows behind them. One hand clutching her bag, Sydney watches them leave, then glances away. Now in the bowling alley, Joyce, using one crutch, holds two plates behind the counter.
Otis and Kirby, order's up. Come get it.
Two scruffy men in plaid shirts approach. The men eye the plates.
Tell you what, Kirby. I'll carry yours, you carry mine. That way it'll still feel like someone brung it to us.
Good idea.
They trade plates. The cook and Joyce watch.
Very funny, boys.
The two stooges are bowling.
He points toward the payphone where Sydney dials a number.
Fran, you're never there.
Sydney.
Listen, I'm not going to come back right away. I don't know what I got to do. Something. I'll call you in a few days.
Bye. Sydney hangs up. Joyce grabs her other crutch and moves past the cook. Joyce crosses to the lanes where Sydney sits gazing blankly. The waitress sits beside her.
Hey.
Hey.
You all right?
I don't know.
I thought you were going home.
Sydney lowers her gaze.
Right now, Houston is better than there.
Okay. Well, what are we going to do with you then? Besides fish food, what have you done?
What have I done? You mean work?
Yeah, work. I think we've exhausted the waitress thing.
Yeah. Well, I've done a lot of things. When I was a teenager, I flipped burgers.
Mm-hmm.
I was a nurse's aide once. Sort of.
That's how you knew to put ice on my foot.
Yeah.
I tell you what. My friend Darlene is the nurse at the mill, and she is dying to visit her sister in Florida.
Oh, I don't know.
You could cover for her during her vacation. Pays pretty good.
I can't do that.
Just till she gets back. Look, put money in your pocket, get your confidence back. I'm going to set it up right now. All you got to do is charm the boss. Going to get along great.
Now at the Lincoln Steel Mill, the silver-haired man enters an office.
I know we have to make the shipment, but I can't speed it up without slacking on safety, and I'm not going to do that.
Sydney sits in front of his desk.
Mr. Cameron?
Peaches! Well, I thought you were leaving town.
You're the boss?
Yeah. Dan, remember?
Yeah.
They shake hands.
Wow, waitress, now a nurse. This keeps up, you'll be mayor by the end of the week.
Huh, Nelson. Mississippi.
He reads her resume.
Pushmataha. You know, I never actually met anyone from Mississippi before.
Yeah? Well, most of us wouldn't choose now. We got indoor plumbing, too.
Sydney flutters her eyelids and he grins.
You look very familiar.
With a tight smile, she drops her gaze.
Huh. Let's see. Work history. Sold tropical fish supplies. Gourmet chef. Part-time nurse.
Well, actually, it was more like a nurse's aide.
Well, how are you with splinters? That's about as serious as it gets around here. Of course, there was that one time that Guy Hillier got decapitated with a hydraulic drill.
You're kidding, right?
Ben's brow wrinkles.
Yeah.
Very funny. Steel mill humor.
Ben puts down her resume.
You're hired.
Just like that?
Steel mill intuition. You got a certain big city something about you, but not entirely. I like it. I thought you were leaving town.
I thought so, too.
Well, lucky for us. Come on, Peaches, I'll show you around.
Now on the mill floor.
The mill has six divisions, employing over 1,000 men. This division makes steel products, bridges, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather helped build this place in the 20s.
Did he really?
Yeah, the town was really prosperous then.
Well, it seems busy enough now.
Well, what you're seeing are guys working double shifts in order to keep the mill in the black. What everybody has to do these days to compete with foreign steel. The nurse's station and the lunchroom are up there.
As a worker cuts metal, bright sparks fly up past a window. On the other side, men gather at a table. In the lunchroom, workers pick up their lunchboxes and exit the room. A man wearing a tie lingers behind.
Dick, this is Cheryl Belson. She'll be taking over for Darlene until she comes back.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
And welcome.
Can you give us a second?
Oh, sure. No problem.
Thank you. Ben, did you send in that report to New York?
Well, I was hoping the output would improve this week so I could send something more optimistic. Why?
Good, because I wanted to go over the accounts receivable, see if I could shake loose a few dollars from some of these guys that owe it to us, you know, and tip the numbers in our favor a little bit.
Okay.
Good. Great.
Hey, Dick, everything okay?
I just got a call. Elaine fell again. It's my wife. She's been pretty sick.
She all right?
Well, nothing's broke, but I can't say she's okay. It's been a pretty tough go for the last 2 years. She's getting tired.
Well, what are you doing here? Go be with her.
I can't do that. You know what's on my desk.
But if I need you, I'll call you. Go ahead. Go.
Thanks, Ben.
As Dick heads out, Sydney approaches her new boss.
That was a nice thing to do.
Well, I'm a nice guy.
She smiles.
A lot of people I know wouldn't have done that.
It sounds like you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Here's your office.
Ben opens a door, revealing a small windowed room with a desk and chair.
What do you think?
She nods.
Looks like home to me.
I don't know what I gotta do. Something. I'll call you in a few days. Bye.
In a few days. Get me the studio. Executives are gonna be hemorrhaging all over the lot.
Ryan's on two and your mom's still on hold.
Mom, hold on. Ryan!
Fran flashes a grin.
Oh, of course she's coming. I talked to Sydney this morning. Everything will be fine. You too. Kiss, kiss.
Now in her office, Sydney checks Otis's behind.
I don't see any splinters, Otis.
I don't know. I felt something. Metal filing, maybe?
Let me get some aspirin.
Grimacing, Sydney walks over to the desk and grabs a bottle of water and a pill. She pops the pill in her mouth.
I can go back to work now.
Well, what about checking out that splinter in my butt?
Sit on a mirror and check it yourself.
As his smile fades, Otis gets up and walks out.
Sit on a mirror and check it yourself. What kind of nursing is that?
In the lunchroom, men gather outside the nurse's door. As Otis gives a thumbs up, the men rush into a line. A worker holds out his finger.
Oh.
Sydney grins.
Come on in.
Elsewhere, Ben approaches his brother.
Hey. You think about my idea?
Ben, it doesn't work. Guys doing these jobs, they don't make enough money to buy back the plant.
Hey, John, I need that MIG gun by tomorrow.
Where do you come up with these Wall Street strategies?
Well, we gotta do something.
Relax, brother. They've been threatening to close this place down since we were kids.
Yeah, well, this time it might happen.
Look, just because they shut down Ithaca doesn't mean we're going down, too. Hey, you save New Bedford, you'll save us as well. Stop worrying.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, take me along.
A brawny man tosses Ben a football and runs outside. Ben throws the ball and the worker falls on the gravel. Gritting his teeth, the man holds his hands over his groin.
Nice hands, Jimmy.
Nice arm. You must have played, what, college?
A little bit.
Where'd he play?
Jimmy gets up.
As a nurse, what would you prescribe for him?
Stick to bowling.
Ben smiles at her.
So, how's your first day going so far?
A lot of aches and pains, twisted ankle, through the line at checking for hernias.
Smart. So what are you going to do to celebrate?
Celebrate?
Yeah, you got a new job. Person gets a new job, they ought to celebrate.
I don't have anything planned, really.
Well, in that case, how about dinner in my house? What?
You don't quit, do you?
Well, I haven't heard you say no.
And if I did?
I'd be perfectly fine with it.
I don't think so.
Come on, you just got a new job.
It's very sweet of you. I just don't think so.
Oh, how can you say I don't think so? It's impossible. Just say yes. Come on, just yes. Simply yes. What else are you gonna do? Who do you know in town?
Sydney faces Ben.
Okay, all right already. As long as I don't have to carry more than one plate at a time.
Actually, I was hoping you'd cook.
I have to cook?
Well, your resume says you're a gourmet chef. Besides, I got a couple trout I caught yesterday. Needs a little loving hand, a little imagination, culinary skill. Where do you live?
I'm staying at Joyce's.
Really? Well, I'll pick you up at 7.
Okay. See you at 7.
Right.
Sydney watches him walk away. Later at Joyce's house.
I just don't understand how you could tell him you were a chef when you really weren't.
Well, I wasn't lying. I just
didn't stick with it for very long.
Oh.
You like him, don't you?
Maybe.
You want to try this? Ravishing Red?
Sure. I guess. I mean, I've never done them before.
You've never done your nails before?
In this color.
Oh.
She puts down the bottle of nail polish.
Hey, this one might work. Flambé the trout. It's romantic to flambé. And for your nails, I have the perfect color sweater.
Joyce picks up a red sweater.
Oh, that's probably Carter. Here you go.
Passing Sydney the garment, Joyce hops to the door.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay.
They enter the kitchen.
The boyfriend. Carter, this is Cheryl Belson. She's visiting from somewhere in Mississippi. This is Carter.
Yes, the boyfriend.
It's so nice to meet you, Carter.
Likewise. She is a bit like Sydney Clark, but Sydney's a little more zoftic.
Zoftic.
It means chunky.
I know what it means. Carter's the director of our community theater.
Oh, how nice.
I'm holding auditions next week, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Why don't you pop along? We'll see if we can fit you in.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not much of an actress.
Neither's Sydney Clark. Never stopped her.
I'll be there.
I'm going to audition, too. And maybe this year I'll get something. We'll see you later, Cheryl. Don't wait up.
Carter waves his fingers. Nighttime, in a gabled two-story house, Sydney stirs food in a pan.
I'm very impressed.
You should be. It's a highly skilled operation.
I just can't tell whether you know what you're doing or you're the best con artist I've ever seen.
The con has done well enough. Who's to say it isn't the truth?
Well, what if you don't pull it off?
The spell was broken.
We're having a conversation. I don't know what the hell we're talking about. You're driving me crazy.
I have to check the trout.
No, the trout is fine.
Ben pulls her close.
I have never seen such beautiful brown eyes in my life.
And me or the trout? Speaking of the trout. Watch out.
Yeah, all right.
Using a pot holder, Sydney opens an oven and pulls out a pan of seasoned trout.
All right,
okay. A bit of cognac?
Medicinal purposes?
She pours it over the fish.
And voila!
Oh, here we go.
Sydney lowers a lighter toward the fish, igniting it. Smoke fills the kitchen.
Oh!
Isn't what's supposed to happen?
Oh!
Oh, yeah, that's much better. Oh. You are the worst!
What, you never heard of smoked trout?
Now in the living room.
You okay?
I'm fine, really. A little humiliated, but fine.
Ben sips a glass of wine.
I'm sorry about the trout. I know you two were just starting to hit it off.
He puts his arm around her.
I just feel lucky we're alive. I still have my home. Not worried about the trout. You like fudge?
Love fudge. Do you have fudge?
Do I have fudge? I made this. This happens to be the only thing I know how to cook.
Is it good?
Well, it beats the hell out of your trout.
Wouldn't be hard.
As Ben leans in, she turns away.
Your fish tank's not healthy.
Really?
Yep.
Bringing up the fish tank at this particular moment is, slightly frustrating.
Well, I think we hardly know each other. And I don't fool around on the first date.
Hooking an eyebrow, he glances down.
Well, it's early. Come on, let's have our second date. Come on.
Now at a cemetery, moonlight shines over hundreds of headstones.
You really love this town, don't you?
Well, I grew up here. There's four generations of Camerons buried here. My mother and father are right over there.
You love them too, huh?
My parents? Yeah, they were my parents. Why, you don't have warm feelings about Pushmatahari?
Pushmataha. Would you guys give me a break? Just because you live in Clicheville, Lincoln. Jeez. Pushma, what you call it, was wonderful. I loved it. I can't say the same thing about my father. Fortunately, he left when I was 9.
I guess I lived the American dream.
You know what's great about you, Ben?
Yeah. My broad shoulders and irresistible grin?
No. You are who you are. Rock solid, genuine, straightforward.
That sounds so boring. You know what I like about you? It's just the opposite. See, I look at you and I see something more.
I know there's something more.
You got me curious.
Is something new for you? A woman who makes you curious?
Well, maybe there was one or two when I lived in New York.
You lived in New York?
Yeah, are you surprised?
Yeah, I am a little.
Sydney gives him a warm grin.
You didn't like the big city?
No, it was all right. I just moved back when I had the chance. Never really felt right anywhere else.
Wow, do you see that falling star?
A light streaks across the sky.
I don't see those too often.
Where I come from, you see them all the time.
Ben studies his date.
You cold?
Yeah, I am a little bit.
He puts an arm around her.
Thank you.
So, what's your policy on third dates?
Now at the movie theater.
Hi. Two, please. Enjoy the show.
Yeah. Want anything to eat?
No, I'm okay right now.
Okay.
They pass the snack counter and enter a dimly lit theater.
Let's sit up on the stage.
No, I like to sit right in the middle.
She leads him down the aisle.
Right here.
Wow. Such a control freak.
As she settles in her seat, Sydney smiles.
Ah.
Ben admires his date's content look.
What are you so happy about?
I love this.
Well, it's just a movie theater.
Ordinary and wonderful.
Ben stretches his arm around her shoulder.
Well, you know, if it makes you so happy going to the movies, we should do it more often. I think this date is going really well. I'm having fun.
Now, in the role you've been waiting for her to play.
Frankly, I need some help.
Sydney Clark.
I need someone who knows the game.
As Ben eyes the screen, Sydney slouches.
Sydney Clark. More beautiful, more dangerous than
ever. If the con has done well enough, who's to say it isn't the truth? I could use a real friend right now. And I know that I can't just ask you to...
Ben points from the screen to Sydney, then back at the screen. As she gazes into his eyes, Ben's jaw drops. He removes his arm from her shoulder and gets up. Grinning, Sydney looks at the screen, then follows him out of the theater.
You've had. You'll never have one like this. Sydney.
Ben.
Well, I guess the joke's on me, huh?
Ben, come on.
Wow, am I like the fan mags now?
Let me explain,
No, you
at least.
Got me. That was a good one. I mean, I gotta hand it to you.
It's
you
not
really
like
did.
That.
Really, what is it like? What is it? Oh, it's an acting experiment. Is that what it is? Like, research?
No, you know,
let's hang out with
about.
The little people? Then what is it about?
I just wanted to know what it felt like to be Cheryl Beltran again.
Oh. Oh, I see. So you show up in some little hick town and look for the biggest sap in it? Is that what it is? Thanks for the date.
As Ben walks out, Sydney sadly watches him go. She rolls her eyes and frowns. Outside of town, Sydney strolls along a weather-beaten road. A pair of saplings stands at the road's edge in front of a field and distant farmhouse. By the lake, Sydney's pace slows as she comes upon a house that's been boarded up. She takes a detour towards its wraparound porch and peers in through a dirty window. In the front hall, lumber and an old door lean against the walls. Sydney's gaze rolls thoughtfully, then she crosses the porch to a section enclosed by windows and a door. She tries the knob. It's locked. She peeks into the enclosed space, then continues on her way. She takes a parting glance at the unoccupied house. Now at the mill, she hurries past workers punching in.
Morning.
Good morning.
She doubles back to the time clock.
You don't mind if I butt in, do you?
Sydney checks the racked punch cards, then hurries upstairs. In his office, Ben studies ledger pages. Sydney appears at his door, then enters. Ben keeps his eyes on his paperwork.
Are you telling me something? My time card's gone.
Yeah, I figured you had bigger and better things to do.
Okay. All right, but for the record, I didn't mean to hurt anyone, and I didn't mean to hurt you. I was doing my job here. I think I was doing it well. That was the idea, right?
She stops on her way out.
One more thing. Actors make it paid to play emotions, but they've got real ones, too.
She wheels around and storms out of Ben's office, then returns and yanks the door shut.
Don't slam that door.
Now at the lunch counter in Dooley's, Sydney puts the final touches on a caricature of the goateed cook, then hands the drawing to him.
Here you go.
Wow, that's amazing. Listen, I don't think Joyce is going to be back for at least 30 minutes, so... If you want to wait, I'll make you a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, I'm not hungry. Thank you, though.
Thank you.
Sydney faces the bowling lanes. Her pert sweater, worn open with a pair of jeans, swings lightly as she takes up one of the shot-put-sized candlepin balls. She lines up a shot, steps forward, and gives the ball a loose toss. It bumbles immediately into the gutter and disappears beside the untouched pins. Sydney walks away from the bowling lanes. At the mill time clock, workers ignore Ben as they punch in.
Hey, Todd. Morning. How you doing, buddy? Ronnie? Mark? How you doing? See how this is going.
Ben steps down the line.
Morning, Kevin.
The employee steps blankly past him. Ben gives a resigned nod. Chewing gum, he shakes his head, then wanders off. Back at Dooley's, Sydney tries her hand with a regular-sized bowling ball, which quickly barrels into the gutter. Ben saunters up to her.
Maybe I should try those wussy balls.
Yeah, maybe you should.
You waiting for this lane?
He shakes his head.
The guys at the mill want you back.
There you go. I have never had trouble at the box office.
Yeah, they're actually threatening to go on strike unless you come back.
Oh, really? I am so flattered.
Well, they are the only reason I'm here, so what do you say?
You didn't tell them who I am, did you?
How could I? How could I tell them that they're laying their jobs on the line for some Hollywood movie star? It's a joke.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, my pleasure.
As he heads away, Sydney grabs another ball. With her fingers in the hole, she steps forward, swings her arm, and releases it. Ben sees her ball traveling down the gutter. Sydney bites her lip and gets another one. Her windup nearly smacks Ben in the face.
Hey, can I just show you something for a second? Come here. Hold the ball like this.
He moves in close behind her.
Now, you want to take 4 clean steps and end up with enough room to slide up to the finish line and end up with your thumb up by your nose. All right, your right thumb.
His nose brushes her long, flowing hair.
Okay, go ahead.
Sydney takes 4 steps, releases the ball, and swings one leg behind the other like a kickstand. She gets a strike. She almost hugs Ben, then punches the air victoriously instead.
That was really good.
So what do you say? Are you coming back?
Who's asking? You or the men?
What's the difference?
Tell me the answer and find out.
Ben takes a deep breath.
Why is my fish tank so sick?
You're such a coward.
I know. So, Sydney Clark, huh?
Now, workers wait outside the nurse's office. Ben arrives with Sydney.
All right. You happy?
Yeah!
Sydney takes a bow.
All right, let's get the worst over first. Come on, Otis.
She struts past them. Now, in Dick's office, the accountant shows Ben an open ledger.
Yeah, I've already seen these. If we show these to Remsburg, they're definitely going to shut us down.
Well, that's why we don't show those to Remsburg.
Dick opens a second ledger.
We show Remsburg these.
What are these?
Ever since the Ithaca plant closing, I've been inflating the numbers. Just enough, you know.
Dick, if they see these, you'll lose your job.
Well, if they see these, we will all lose our jobs. You think those guys in New York care about this town, Ben? We're numbers.
Dick puts away both ledgers.
Look, I'm not proud of this. I got 1,000 guys to worry about. Welcome home, pal.
I don't know, Dick.
Now, Sydney gives Otis a back rub.
Yeah.
How long have you been married, Otis?
We have to talk about that.
Just wondering.
17 long years.
Love each other?
Oh.
No. I haven't figured it out either. It always starts out so good and it ends up awful. Men and women, huh? What a mix.
I wouldn't know where to start. Even if I did, I don't think she'd care.
Well, I guess life's a gamble that way, huh?
Suppose I could try. Start out small. Bring her a little something. A little present, maybe. I used to do that.
Yeah? Back in the days when she'd rub away your aches and pains. Okay, there you go. How's that shoulder now?
It's better.
Otis gets to his feet and throws a work coat over his t-shirt.
Oh, thank you for
you know, putting up with me.
Friends?
Yeah, as long as you do the splinter checks yourself.
I'm gonna have to nominate her for Nurse of the Year.
Now, Ben answers his front door. It's Sydney holding a bag.
Hello.
Hi.
What's that?
Special fish food. I used to do that stuff, remember?
Oh, yeah. Come on in.
He leads her down a hall, then turns on his heels to face her.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What exactly brings you to town, anyway?
I was shooting a movie. I walked off the set and blah, blah, blah. I ended up here. I'll tell you later, but your fish need me.
Mm-hmm.
They have ick.
Ick?
Fish disease. See, look. You have to raise the temperature and treat the water every time you change it. I brought the medicine too, so.
When do we start?
Now. They're suffering. I'll show you.
They meant us.
They stand face to face by the aquarium.
Well, you asked me who I thought I was, and I'm looking for an answer to that, too. I wish I had something profound to say, but I got a problem. I'm lost without a script. You asked me, when do we start? And I'm asking you how.
Well, maybe crazy, but I don't say now. And after giving your second question, to consider what Ma thought. Here's how.
He kisses her. Sydney quickly accepts the embrace, and they fall kissing onto the couch. A bubbling view through the fish tank shows their entwined legs on the sofa's armrest.
How happy some or other some can be.
Joyce recites lines before several Dooley's employees and customers.
How happy some can be. Through Athens, I am thought as fair as she, but what of that? Demetrius thinks not so.
She nods and waves. She bows, then hobbles to a counter on a single crutch.
What a person does for love.
Sydney approaches.
I can help you with that.
I don't think anybody can help me.
First, you have to answer the big question. What does Helena want?
Want?
Not just want. 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 Because when you're working on a character in a play, you have to know what it is they want so that you can want it too. Otherwise, the lines you speak have no meaning. So you have to want it so much that you can just burst.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Well, yeah, it is. But I tell you a secret, Joyce. Everybody in the world envies this. Knowing what you want, because they wish they knew too. That's why they sit in the audience and watch. Why they cannot take their eyes off you.
We're talking community theater here.
Sydney bursts out laughing.
I love you, Joyce. Come here. I love you. Okay.
Now in a modest theater, Joyce, Sydney, and others listen as a pixie-faced woman auditions on stage.
Aye, in the temple, in the town, in the field, you do me mischief. Fie, Demetrius! Your wrongs do set a scandal upon my sex. And even
she's
not that very good. Who I love you.
She's had the lead every year since Carter started directing here. What about you? I've never been cast. You're sleeping with a director and you've never been cast? Please.
Joyce cracks up.
We cannot fight for love as men may do.
Carter watches with an enrapt expression and leans forward.
I'll follow thee and make a heaven of hell to die upon the hand I love so well.
Carter leads the applause.
Wonderful. Thank you.
He loved it. Go figure. I'm sorry for the poor sucker who has to follow that.
Joyce McMurphy.
Joyce shoots a sidelong glance at Sydney.
Just break a leg.
I've already taken care of that. Thank you very much.
Carter peers primly over his spectacles as Joyce takes the stage on her crutches. Her smile fades as she faces the house.
And you are?
Carter.
Joyce McMurphy. Begin when ready.
As Joyce tucks both crutches under one arm, Sydney shifts in her seat. Joyce relaxes her face into a sullen expression.
Oh, I'm out of breath in this fond chase. The more my prayer, the lesser is my grace. Happy is Hermia wheresoever she lies, for she has...
Thank you, that's very good.
Blessed in it.
Carter halts her with his upheld hand and a polite smile. Sydney beams at Joyce. Carter turns to his assistant.
Let her play the first fairy.
Joyce returns to her seat.
How was I? Oh, very convincing.
I wasn't too la-di-da.
Regal, not Madonna.
Oh.
Next, Cheryl Belson.
Okay, big shot. You get up there and don't pee your pants. I'll buy you a beer.
Cheryl Belson, are you here?
Now in Fran's office.
Well, listen, Buster. You think I'm afraid of a 26-year-old executive? Yeah, well, that goes for 28-year-old lawyers, too. Well, you're just going to have to shoot around her for a couple of days. What about reciprocity? She's had 3 hits in a row. Oh, they're going to sue the pantaloons off us. Sydney, wherever you are, I hope you're enjoying this.
Sydney takes the stage.
I just need a moment, please.
Carter folds his hands under his chin. On stage, Sydney ties her hair back, limbers her arms and fingers, then gets down on all fours. Joyce watches with an intense smile. Sydney's gaze grows distant and imploring.
What's here? A cup closed around my true love's hand. Poison I see hath been his. What kind of end? Timeless.
Joyce prompts her.
Timeless end. Oh, churl. Drunk all and left no friendly drop to help me after. I will kiss thy lips. Happily some... What?
Poison.
Happily some poison yet doth hang on them.
Sydney closes her eyes and kisses the back of her hand.
Thy lips are warm.
Carter blinks his eyes lazily.
Yea, no less. And I will be brief.
Sydney raises an imaginary dagger.
Oh, happy dagger!
She looks to Joyce.
Give me thy sheath. This is thy sheath. There rest and let me die.
Ah! Sydney skewers herself and lolls forward.
I hope she doesn't give up the day job.
Sydney looks up.
Thank you, that's very good.
Thank you.
Sydney gets to her feet and brushes off her knees.
Next! Horace?
Sydney returns to her seat beside Joyce and lets down her hair.
Carter looks less than impressed.
Well, I thought you were wonderful.
Thank you.
He's the prof.
Horace?
Waitressing, no. Acting, no.
Oh, I didn't quite pee in my pants, but I owe you a beer anyway. Come on.
They get up. Now outside the steel mill, a huge crane as tall as a warehouse wheels a girder over cement blocks. Inside, a bespectacled worker with a gray mustache clutches his chest. He staggers backward, losing his hard hat. His blurry view tilts toward the ceiling as he collapses. In the nurse's office, Sydney places a thermometer in a woman's mouth. Ben's brother rushes in.
Cheryl! Sweetie! He's having a heart attack or something. It's no joke! Come on!
Sydney grabs a first aid kit and follows him downstairs.
He called paramedics.
Already good. I'll go.
Reaching the floor, Sydney stops and eyes the workers gathered around Sweeney. She pushes her way through.
Excuse me.
Kneeling at Sweeney's side, she puts her ear to his mouth.
Okay, he's not breathing and there's no pulse. Somebody help me. Put your hands right here and pump 5 times for every breath I do. Hand me that. Okay, thank you. Ready?
She puts a plastic mask over Sweeney's mouth and breathes into an opening. One of his co-workers gives him chest compressions.
Oh. Ah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
He's breathing. Right. He's breathing.
Come on, guys.
A worker leads in 2 paramedics.
Hang on, Sweeney. Here they come. Yes, sir. He wasn't breathing and he had no pulse. We've now got him breathing.
Sydney gets up.
All right, I got a good pulse. I want the cardiac monitor. I'm going to start an IV right away.
She retreats to the stairway. Ben races to the scene.
Oh, bring me the nitroglycerin. No spray.
You going to be all right?
Was it gone or Cheryl brought him back?
The foreman watches Sydney disappear upstairs, then follows. Later, in the nurse's office, she rests her head on her hands. Beside her, sparks arc through the air outside a window. Ben enters.
Hey.
Hey.
You did great.
I hope he makes it.
You sure you're okay?
Yeah,
Wow. No mistaking that.
What?
Something that mattered. I did something that mattered.
Smiling, he hugs her head to his chest.
Ooh.
Rocking her back and forth, he kisses the crown of her head. Later at a hospital, Sydney carries a bouquet of flowers down a hallway. Wearing a baby blue cardigan and knee-length skirt, she enters a patient's room. Sweeney lies unconscious in bed, tubes running from his mouth. Sydney leans over him.
Sweeney? Don't quit on me, Sweeney. Got a lot riding on you. Okay?
I don't think he's gonna die. It's just not like him to die.
A gray-haired woman sits near the door.
No, he's a fighter. That's what got him here. That's what'll get him out. I'll tell him you came by. I know he'd like that. And,
Her mouth trembles.
Thank you.
Sydney flashes a cordial grin. Now outside, power lines crisscross green leafy tree branches over a residential street. Ben's brother, Pete, answers his front door.
Come on in.
Hey!
Wow, sure you look beautiful.
Aw, Pete, thank you.
What's she doing with you?
Yeah, you are beautiful.
Are you two having a moment here? Because I could leave.
That'd be great, Pete.
Yeah, come on, I'll show you the joys of fatherhood. Sure, I'll see Cece's in the kitchen.
Okay, I'll give her a hand.
Don't cook. Whatever you do, do not cook.
Oh, very funny.
Cece, don't let her near the stove.
Sydney enters the kitchen.
Oh, supper's all ready. I don't need any help.
Cece holds out a wooden spoon.
I can let you stir. That's it.
Oh, give me that.
Upstairs.
Hey, buddy. Come on, you want your diaper changed? Oh, yeah, let's go.
Oh, my God. Look at him.
Yeah, he's getting big.
Hey. Cece feeling okay?
Yeah, she's holding up. It's been tough, though, especially with me pulling double shifts 3 days a week. Listen, Ben. I know things are tight around town right now for everybody. I don't gotta tell you that. And I don't want to set myself apart from everybody else. But the truth is, I just don't see how Cece and I are gonna make it.
Listen, Pete.
No, please, Ben. I gotta ask. I need a raise.
Well, you're not gonna get a raise, Pete. Nobody is.
Pete changes his baby's diaper.
Yeah, well, you know, I just thought I'd ask. I owe it to Cece and the kids.
I'm sorry. Look, I gotta ask you, if you really had to, what else would you do?
What? You mean not work at the mill?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's all I've ever done. You remember when Dad used to say how steel gets in your blood?
Ben nods.
I think he was right.
Pete holds a toy for his son to play with. Now, Sydney and Joyce approach the abandoned house.
You have to use a little imagination, right?
Okay.
I want to show you this. Come look right here. First of all, you clean up this whole area here for drinks. Come follow me over
little
here.
Pasta.
That would be so beautiful. You have this porch that goes all the way around. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can get in here. It's probably locked. Ah, it's open. How charming this is. Look at the view people would have eating.
Inside, boxes and furniture clutter the rooms.
I hate it when somebody calls my bluff.
Well,
so it would work fine. A counter over here, deli case, a few tables and chairs, view of the lake, some guaranteed business from the hunters and fishermen.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Oh.
What would happen if it doesn't work out?
But it will work out.
Easy for you to say. I got that feeling again. Like right before I danced with you.
Oh, well, maybe we'll just do a waltz next time.
They leave. Now, tree branches rustle in the wind outside Ben's two-story house. A window curtain pulls back and Sydney peers outside. She exits through the front door wearing a silk robe.
Hey.
Well, hi.
Ben leans against a black SUV.
Were you going to leave without saying goodbye?
No, I was just coming in to wake you up.
Where are you going?
Going on a little business trip.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No big deal. Just something I got to take care of, and I'll tell you all about it when I get back.
Fair enough.
Will you feed my fish?
I'd love to feed your fish.
They kiss. Now townspeople enter the Lincoln Playhouse. Inside, the pixie-ish woman performs on stage.
In the town, in the field, you do me mischief.
Adieu.
Bye, Demetrius. Your wrongs do set a scandal upon our sex. We cannot fight for love.
In the audience, Sidney notices Otis snuggled up with his wife.
And we're not made to woo. I'll follow thee and make a heaven of hell to die upon the hand I love so well.
As she leaves the stage, a door opens. Joyce scampers out wearing a pair of glittery wings. She goes back to close the door, then limps around a male fairy.
Or hill, or dale, or bush, or briar, or park, or pale, through flood, through fire, I do wander everywhere, swifter than the moon's sphere.
She flourishes her hand overhead. Sidney starts to give a standing ovation, then quickly sits back down. Elsewhere in the audience, Otis holds his arm around his wife.
So good night unto you all. Give me your hands if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends.
The male fairy bows. As the other actors join him on stage, Sidney claps proudly. The cast takes a group bow. Sidney springs up from her seat. As she gives Joyce two thumbs up, the other audience members join her in a standing ovation. The cast takes another bow. Later, the seats sit empty. Sidney carries a bouquet of roses past the front row. As she heads up on stage, she notices an open door. Outside, Carter and his lead actress hold each other amorously. Seeing Sidney, he closes the door. Joyce arrives on her crutches.
Cheryl! Hey!
Oh, you were so wonderful.
Get out.
Are you too much?
Let's go celebrate. Get a beer.
Okay.
Good idea.
Oh, I should have used my crutches. My foot is killing me.
You weren't even limping.
Outside.
Okay, so how'd I do? Be honest.
Brilliant.
Wasn't much of a part. Blinked and you would have missed it.
Could not take my eyes off you.
Oh, yeah? Well, Hollywood, watch out. Hey, did you see Carter anywhere?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Joyce, how well do you know Carter? Pretty well. How come your face is saying not well enough?
Well, when a bad actress gets a lead role, don't you wonder?
Allison?
Yeah. Don't you wonder?
You are really something, Cheryl Belson from Mississippi. You sure stir up a pot.
Oh, no, Joyce.
Dance up a storm, Joyce. Open up that restaurant, Joyce. Figure out that Shakespeare. Get up on that stage, Joyce. Look at your boyfriend. See who he is, Joyce. Know what you want. Know what you really want. God, you ask a lot out of people.
Joyce, that's not... Ugh.
Joyce walks off. Now in a New York conference room, Ben faces a stern-faced man.
Ben, it's been over half a year now. Only took you 3 months to make the call on Ithaca and New Bedford. You sure you're not letting a little hometown sentiment cloud your vision?
Richard, I don't know if it's clouding my vision or giving it clarity. Look, I want to reinvest in Lincoln. Modernize. I think if we put enough money into this plant, it can turn a profit in 18 months.
Why would I want to risk that kind of financial exposure?
Because I know the people who work in Lincoln. They are literally giving their lives to keep this place open. I think we should match that effort with our own. Give them a fighting chance. You close that place, that town will die.
And the people will get severance, extended health, job placement programs. Ben, it's the numbers.
No, it's not numbers. It's lives. It's people's lives. Thousands of people.
Look, maybe it was a little unfair of me to send you back into your own hometown with this mission. But Lincoln's failure was not my doing. Economics is second only to a force of nature. My decision to close that plant is only a reaction to something that has already happened on its own.
Ben drops his gaze, then waves his hand in resignation. Meanwhile, at Ben's house, Sidney cleans the inside walls of the aquarium with a long-handled brush.
Hi, this is Ben. Leave a message and I'll call you back as soon as I can. Thank you.
Ben, you understood going in that we probably were going to have to close the Lincoln plant.
She eyes the answering machine.
Now accounting is telling us we have to shut down more abruptly than we thought.
rerouting orders. As of now, Lincoln is a liability every moment it stays in operation.
Sydney stares thoughtfully.
Don't disappoint me, Ben.
With one hand on her hip, Sydney pushes the machine's play button.
Ben, you understood going in that we probably were going to have to close the Lincoln plant. Now accounting is telling us we have to shut down more abruptly than we thought.
Sydney stands motionless with her arms folded. Nighttime. She sits forward on the couch by the light of the aquarium. As Ben enters, Sydney stands and approaches the door.
Hey.
Hey.
This is a surprise.
Sydney plays the answering machine.
Ben, you understood going in that we probably were going to have to close the Lincoln plant. Now accounting is telling us we have to shut down more...
As Ben turns off the machine, he stares coolly at Sydney.
I asked you to feed the fish, not listen to my messages.
I was not listening to your messages. I was cleaning your tank, and I happened to overhear that message. Who are you?
What?
Are you the prodigal son that comes back to save the town and has a secret agenda held till the last second?
Wait,
I don't know how you could be party to this. All these people are your friends, not to mention your family.
I know that. Don't you think I know that? You think this is easy for me? I close this place down, that's 1,000 people out of work. There are only 6,000 people in this town.
Just quit.
It won't do any good.
Quit.
And do what? Express my sympathy by living in a ghost town?
Quit!
You don't know anything! You know, you come here, you think this is some charming little place. Fine. How charming is it going to be when everyone in it is out of work and on food stamps? How charming will it be when you have to hire a steel worker as your gardener? You know, why don't you stick to your little telethons and you won't get your hands dirty?
Sydney stares slack-jawed at Ben. She shakes her head and drops her gaze.
That's who you think I am. I guess that's who I am.
She cocks her head.
I got it.
As she walks out, Ben closes his eyes and swallows. Now at Dooley's, Joyce stands with her back to the lunch counter. Sydney approaches.
Be with you in a sec.
Joyce.
We got a meatloaf special tonight, $4.99 with super salad.
Joyce.
Beverage included. So what'll it be? I don't have all night.
I didn't mean to hurt you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sydney lowers her gaze.
Okay. I need to make a call. Do you mind if I use your phone?
Keeping her back to Sydney, Joyce shrugs and shakes her head a little. As Sydney leaves, Joyce glances over her shoulder. In the back office, Sydney reaches for the phone, then notices the issue of Exclusive Magazine. She turns the cover to face her and dials the phone. As she waits with the receiver to her ear, she picks up the magazine and smirks at her own face on the cover.
Fran, it's me.
Now a plane lands on a runway. In Los Angeles, a white stretch limo carries Sydney, Fran, and Ginger down a freeway.
And what was in that horrible little town that you can't find here?
Nothing.
Fran, I'm going to tell you something, and then let's not talk about it anymore, okay?
I suppose.
I caught Ryan with my stand-in.
Caught is in the biblical sense, caught?
That's right.
Well, the guy's a pig anyway. You want me to dump him?
No.
Is there a guy in Hicksville?
No.
Then what'd you do for 2 weeks?
Got a job at a steel mill.
Sydney grins.
You're yanking my chin,
no,
right?
No, I was a nurse. Oh, and I tried it for a plate, didn't get cast.
Sydney happily slaps her own knee.
We, pushed back the Vanity Fair shoot, but, the Albert Brooks film isn't going to happen for us. They went with Michelle Pfeiffer. I said they went with Michelle Pfeiffer.
I heard you.
Instead of you.
I know. Don't worry about it.
You know, Sydney, you might want to schedule another session with that shrimp.
I probably made the biggest mistake of my life.
Oh, boy, this has got to be a doozy. What?
Never mind.
Now with Ben.
Hi, this is Ben. Leave a message and I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Sitting on his sofa, he leans forward.
Ben, I've left 2 messages already. They say you're not at the plant and we need to talk. Ben, I repeat, we need to talk.
Lifting his head, Ben leans back and gazes at his fish tank. Now on terraced lawns, casually dressed partygoers mingle. As Sydney talks on her cell phone, Ryan approaches.
No, I understand, Dick. That's what I thought. If you could put that information together for me, that would be great. I'll call you back.
You have no idea what you put us through. We can go sick.
Oh, well, I just needed some time to think.
Don't ever do anything like that to us again. And she promised me that.
Sydney gives a slight nod, then looks away.
I missed you so much.
You missed me.
Are you kidding? It was agony. Fred and I are hosting this party. Just to show you how happy we are that you're back. I made some changes I thought you'd be happy with.
He shows a script and she sighs.
We can look at that later. Right now, we have a wedding to plan. There's a million decisions and, you know me, oogie-boogie.
Ryan. There's not going to be a wedding.
What do you mean?
This is not easy to say. I don't love you. Actually, that is pretty easy to say. Yeah.
Sydney, our plans. Oh, this isn't about me and your stand-in, is it? Because that was nothing. Sydney, we have a wedding. Okay? There are 1,000 guests.
Ryan, I don't love you. What else can I say?
You mean it?
Yeah.
As Sydney flashes a grin, Ryan settles into a chair across from her. He gazes distantly and takes a deep breath.
Okay. Fine. How do you want the publicist to handle the spin on this thing?
Sydney leans forward and looks him in the eye.
We'll tell them you dumped me.
We will?
As Sydney walks away, Ryan smiles.
Great. But I guess you won't be doing my script now.
We'll see.
Oh, yeah!
What was I thinking?
She approaches Fran.
How did he take it?
He was crushed.
Fran watches Ryan, energetically kicking his feet and wagging his fists.
What a truly sensitive human being.
Sydney! Snappers, okay, the trains are here. They just want to take a few pictures. Oh, this is nice. This is a nice background. Gentlemen, shoot the star.
Now Ben faces the steelworkers.
Well, it's been about 6 months since I came back home to run this place. I jumped at the chance. I grew up here. You guys are my friends. My father's friends. I knew that together we'd put up a hell of a fight. Because I know what you're made of.
Ben gulps and lowers his gaze.
Well, I haven't been totally honest with you. You see, this plant was slated to be closed down long before I ever got here. And I know that's true because it was my job to close it, not to run it, to shut it down. I just thought that if we had a little more time, I could straighten things out, but it's not what they pay me for. You see, New York pays me a lot of money to shut down plants. You all did the best you could. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I thought I could save it, but I couldn't. And I'm sorry. Dick and I will be getting to the various departments about the shutdown.
Among the workers, Pete eyes his brother.
That's it.
Ben meets his gaze, and Pete lowers his head, shaking it sadly. As Ben watches the workers disperse, Dick approaches.
You did your best, Ben. They'll figure that out eventually.
Dick adjusts his hard hat as he watches the workers file out past the heavy machinery and steel slabs. As Dick walks away, Ben stays put, fiddling with his hard hat. Back at the L.A. party, Harry approaches Sydney.
Sydney! Darling, I'm so sorry about what happened. We sent out search parties.
No, it's okay. I was out of line.
You're joking, right?
No, I'm really sorry. Listen, Monday, I have a very important meeting. Can we have a later call?
Yes, we're in the studio. Make it a 5 o'clock call.
I love you.
She rushes off.
I'll be on my toes with the Geppetto Factor, Sydney. What's the Geppetto Factor, I think?
At Dooley, Cece holds the celebrity magazine.
Doesn't look anything like her. How are we supposed to know?
I'm telling you. She stood right in my kitchen.
Yeah, well, she kissed me.
It was artificial respiration, you idiot.
You're just jealous.
Of what? She pulled a splinter out of my butt.
Yeah, well, in Hollywood, I'll bet that's one thing she'd use her stunt double for.
Yeah, they would have used her stunt butt for Otis.
Otis is a stunt butt.
What's that supposed to mean?
Ben enters and slumps in a chair.
Hey, Ben.
Sydney enters her home office.
Get my lawyers and accountants on the phone. I want to meet them this weekend.
Lawyers? This weekend?
Yeah, this weekend.
At Dooley's, Joyce answers the phone behind the counter.
Dooley's.
Joyce, don't hang up on me.
I won't hang up on you.
How are you?
Well, we're knee-deep to tell you the truth. Plant closed down today.
Yeah, I know.
Damn it, Cheryl. Sydney, whatever. Why didn't you just tell me?
If you got me on the phone with my mother, it would have made her day.
Because I like Cheryl Belson better than Sydney Clark, okay?
Well, we like them both.
Who cares if you're famous?
Well, for starters, there's 600 people in my living room.
Is Matt Damon there?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Ah, oh, why didn't you just tell me?
I could have called my sister. She's a Sydney Clark freak.
Okay. Okay, so I'm the last one to know. Big deal.
You okay?
Frowning, Joyce looks off.
I think I knew about Cotter all along. I just didn't want to believe it.
We never do.
Well, it made me do a lot of thinking.
About what?
About want.
No, sorry.
Want!
Is that better?
Atta girl. I've been doing a lot of thinking myself.
About Ben?
Yeah, I messed up, Joyce.
Well, yeah. No, Ben kept the plant going long after the death sentence.
Have you seen him?
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now. Well, I gotta tell you, looks like hell.
Sydney, Fran says you have a house full of guests. She'd like you to come right away.
Sydney nods reluctantly.
Joyce, I've gotta go, but I'll call you back real soon, okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
At Dooley's, Joyce hangs up the phone and looks toward Ben. She slides off her stool and limps over to him. As he gazes off pensively with his hands folded, Joyce leans on his table.
Ben,
you ever wonder why people sit in an audience?
He glances at her and she sits.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because a character's got a big want. Right? You know, like you and me. So you gotta decide what it is you want and how much. And that's all I gotta say. Okay? Did I make any sense at all?
Yeah.
Good.
Joyce gets up and limps back toward the counter. Ben leans his elbows on the table, thoughtfully pursing his lips. Now, a fire burns in a large hearth. Wearing a white ruffled dress with a brocade corset, Sydney steps across a cabin and gazes out a window at falling snow. Outside the window, members of the movie crew set up equipment. A door opens and Sydney's assistant enters with Ben. The assistant waves for her attention. Sydney's sad gaze drifts toward the door and her jaw drops. With a broad grin, Sydney steps out from behind the cabin set and hurries past the crew.
Yeah, Sydney, where are you going?
She faces Ben.
Aren't you supposed to be shutting down the mill?
I quit.
Big risk.
It's worth it. I'll do anything for what I want.
What do you want, Ben?
I want my fish to get better.
Sydney grins and cocks her head.
I want you.
I want you to.
Sydney, we have a movie to make. Do you mind? If you quit again.
Can't quit, Harry. I need the money. I bought a steel mill.
You what?
Me and about 20 other people. I'm looking for the right guy to run it.
Ben smiles. Closing his eyes, he shakes his head. As he opens his eyes again, he sees Sydney's grin. Slowly, their lips inch closer together. As they kiss, Sydney runs her fingers through Ben's short gray hair.
Yes!
As they turn from their kiss, Harry and the crew clap. Ben looks away self-consciously, and Sydney turns his head to face her. They kiss passionately. Now, outside the mill, workers on a raised scaffolding cover the Atlas Steel sign with one that reads Cameron Steel. Below, a dozen workers applaud. Dick shakes Ben's hand. Now, outside Ben's house, he, Sydney, Pete, and Cece gather around the mailbox. Ben replaces a placard that reads Ben Cameron with one that reads Pete and Cece Cameron.
It's officially yours.
Ben hugs his brother.
Look after the old homestead, buddy.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Nighttime. Couples pass four rotating spotlight beams and approach the abandoned house. Fresh paint covers the fence and porch, and strings of lights and flower baskets hang above patrons at outdoor tables. As the couples enter the house, they pass a sign that reads Joyce's Chow. In the enclosed section of the porch, Ben and Sydney share a table for two. As they talk over glasses of wine, Joyce enters from the opposite end and chats with her patrons. She approaches her friend's table, and they all smile and laugh. Daytime. At the lake, a huge two-story home looks out over the water. Sydney and Ben step onto the porch and lean against the railing.
For love may come and tap you on the shoulder.
I love my some new house. I love New England.
And just in case you feel you want to hold her, you'll have a
hello?
Sid, it's me. It's heating up. I've sent you a script. I want you to read it over the weekend. It's a comedy.
It's a comedy. That's great. I'll read it right away. And Fran, after today, I won't have a cell phone anymore.
What?
Sydney flips her cell phone closed and hands it to Ben. Smiling, he chucks it toward the lake. Ben dips her and they kiss. The image freezes. A credit. Executive producers Carol Bloom, Cee LaVord.